And welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as usual, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We buy and sell all forms of rare coins and precious metals. We really do specialize in building investment portfolios and dealing in wealth and capital preservation. We have a very strong background, an extremely knowledgeable base in numismatics, which is collectible coins, as well as I have a very strong background in financial and economic things. I was a regional sales manager for Bank of America. I spent years in that industry as, you know, everything from consumer finance to, you know, all kinds of lending, lots of mortgage experience, you know, banking, investing, Series 6 and 7 licensing. I have a real strong educational background in the same stuff, as well as insurance lines and actuarial science and so on. So we, you know, and then, of course, on top of that, business ownership, as well as, you know, the precious metals and rare coins, how they've performed, what works, what doesn't. Just calling anybody to get sold a product is not the way to go. We have an extraordinary amount of people, companies, boiler room operators, marketing companies, whatever you want to call them out there, that have commission-based salespeople. So their incentive is to maximize profits. And I think I mentioned recently, I was reading an article by a guy who's, you know, kind of an industry watchdog sort of fella. And he was saying that, you know, I mean, there have been the bankruptcies of a number of fairly substantial companies in our industry. And the common denominator before they go under is that they're cheap. They advertise online cheap. And I mean, what's really ridiculous, folks, is in our industry, cheap is a percent here, a percent there. It's not worth chasing that stuff down. It's not worth going online and trying to find. You do not go find the cheapest, okay? I was talking to a contractor who is going to be doing some work for me, and he and I were having the same conversation about subcontractors, painters, things like that. You know, I've always had trouble with painters. I've had some good ones, some bad ones, expensive ones, cheap ones, you name it. And his comment was, you know, he says, I hate to be cliche, but you get what you pay for. And, you know, I mean, we are selling at national wholesale levels to the retail public. So when you invest with us, you're paying, actually, you're paying less. I mean, if you go to auction records, eBay, dealer-to-dealer trades, whatever, any research you do, use PCGS or NGC price guides, we will always be better than that. For the most part, there's always exceptions and outliers, but overall, we're going to be wholesaling to you. You don't have to think, you don't have to know, you don't have to go out and become an expert. But one thing I will warn you, not only the cheap thing, because companies before they go under always are the cheapest because they start a Ponzi scheme. They start getting your money to fund and finance their company. And then, you know, they float you and it takes forever to get your product. And the next thing you know, your money's gone. So, just, you know, fair warning. I hope most of you, respect that, understand that. We are also Christian owned and operated, which, you know, I've been in and around businesses for decades. I ran, you know, the finance department for a massive auto dealership. I've been, of course, in banking and my own business, et cetera. And there is a dramatic difference when people operate by Christian morals and standards. You can trust what they're telling you. They're going to do their best. We never play games with numbers, with people's money. Once we receive it, it is yours. In other words, if you buy gold, you're locked in then and there. No more games, you know, et cetera. So we'll just keep it simple like that. I just want you to understand there's a difference. Please don't go make foolish decisions. That's all I'm saying. I've seen people just get burned and scorched. And there's a lot of money in this business because gold and silver and rare coins and everything we deal in, diamonds, They are liquid cash. Diamonds are a little tricky. They're not as tricky when they're higher grades. But when you get into lower grade or smaller diamonds, they don't carry a lot of value, but they're not nearly as easy to liquidate. Gold is gold is gold is gold. $20 gold pieces, $10 gold pieces, $5 gold pieces, the old numismatic stuff, the new stuff, all that stuff is very, very liquid and very knowledgeable. And you can go anywhere. You can literally go to Thailand and sell old U.S. coins. They're the number one collectible in the world, the number one collectible on eBay, and the number one collectible within that category is, believe it or not, the Morgan Silver Dollar. So technically, the number one collectible in the world is the Morgan Silver Dollar. We do encourage people to put money into that, but we're also doing a lot of balance stuff. There was a lot of odd-type coins made by our U.S. government, and we just put together a portfolio for a guy, and I was able to dig through, a massive hoard of stuff that I accumulated, which is a problem I have, and sold the guy 325 of the old U.S. 3-cent pieces that range from 1865 to 1881. Really good. I mean, really good investments. They're like, $14 a piece now, which is isn't that crazy? Sounds so inexpensive. They're about the size of a dime. But, I remember 20 years ago when they were $1, $2, $3, et cetera, by grade. Now they're, 12, 13, 14. So, you're looking at coins that have gone up, 600 to 1,000% over 20 years. Sounds like a weird investment, and it kind of is, but it works. And collectible coins of that nature, all the way up to, higher quality numismatics, the crazy thing is the nicer the coin, the rarer the coin, the better it performs. And it's just like big diamonds, and it's like waterfront property. It's the same concept. Quality pays in everything you do. That's why all the gold we sell or recommend into portfolios is non-1099 reportable. So if you buy $20 gold pieces, $10 gold pieces, $50 gold pieces, American Eagles, Double Eagles, et cetera, when you go to sell those, there's no 1099 reporting. So, and when you buy them, there's no 1099 reporting. People ask about that too. So there's a lot of questions like that floating around. But as a general rule, and there are coins that are reportable, and and if you have those, a lot of people have various foreign coins and 20 francs and things like that, they were sold by like Goldline as being non-confiscatable because they were pre-1933. They did the quote confiscation in 33, which really wasn't a confiscation. It was a patriotic vulnerability deception. In other words, they're like, if you're a patriot, you'll turn in your gold, you'll trade it, or you'll bring it in. Or, first what they did is they ran fiat currency after the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. They ran fiat currency alongside of gold and silver back notes, and they left the gold clause on fiat currency, the Federal Reserve Bank notes, to deceive, and they just blocked out the signatures with if you saw it, it just has a little black block where the signature goes. And they made people think that they could get their gold back, and they actually did that. They continued that through 33, so people would keep turning their gold into the banks and get paper money, thinking they can come back and get it back. The reason we did that, in 33, was they ended it, and the reason they did that was because the amount of notes that they'd created with gold clauses was a vast, massive multiple of the gold supposed quote-unquote reserves we had, which we no longer had because we'd already traded them to the Federal Reserve for currency, and so we'd vowed them to the Federal Reserve, and we'd also vowed them to foreign debt. They were double dedicated, and that same amount of 60 some hundred metric tons of gold that we supposedly own hasn't changed, and it sits there. and it's not ours, but we say it is because it makes us look strong and rich. But like Angela Merkel about, I think, well, probably about 10 years ago, wanted her gold back. And our country said, okay, we'll pay you back over 7 years. And it went on and on under Obama. She never got a penny. She never saw one bit, not 1 ounce of gold. Because we couldn't do it. We didn't have it. And she, you know, little do we know what transpired behind closed doors on that situation. And that's exactly around the time that Obama started to spike the German economy with incredible amounts of money. He did a lot of corrupt stuff. Trump, I'm not going to tell you, Trump's not a big spender. Trump's a big spender. It's possible. I'd have to look. But it's possible that Trump's spending faster than Obama, but it's hard to say it's Trump because you got Congress and the Senate and this debt ceiling. They don't do real budgets anymore. They just, whatever they need, they get and they spend, and it's absolutely crazy, to watch. Folks, I don't know, you know, moving, well, we'll finish this up here real quick. You, most of you probably know we offer the highest rated privately held depository service. In the Western region, our building's extraordinarily secure, extraordinarily unique, one of the most phenomenal buildings in industry-wide and nationwide, very special place, built from the ground up with incredible security and confidentiality. And from the time we broke ground, this building and its property has been prayed over. We had a power outage maybe a couple years ago for an entire week. On Division Street, every building up and down Division got broke into, but ours. It's our, you know, our security played a huge role. But I can't tell you that people with certain tools couldn't have got in. But the problem is, had they gotten in, they go layer by layer. You know, you go through these extraordinary, you know, polycarbonate windows, and then you've got to go through Kevlar walls. And, well, actually, as you enter, the building's built in corridors and sections, and then, you know, you have to go through just extraordinary measures, 800-pound bomb-proof doors and so on and so forth, before you finally get to the vault. And when you get to the vault, the party's over. It's a Class 2 composite concrete vault wrapped in a Class 2, the antique 1-inch T1 tool-resistant plate steel and so on and so forth. So I didn't lose a wink of sleep. During that week, people were like, aren't you afraid? I'm like, nope. If you knew how we built the building, you wouldn't be either. Obviously, we deal in diamonds. You know that. We wholesale diamonds. If you want a diamond or you know someone getting married, please have them call us or come see us, folks. We'll take care of them in a great way. We just sold a nice 1 1/4 carat to a good friend and customer of ours and a brand new ring. because he was getting engaged. 1 1/4 carat round center stone with a brand new beautiful diamond encrusted band for $4,000. Now, I can't guarantee you that we always have those products at those price levels, but you couldn't touch that anywhere you go. And even, you know, you get down to highly, highly included disgusting stones, you would be surprised at even like the Zales and Weissfields and, you know, the Shane Company, you know, your dealer, whatever, Diamond Friend, or, you know, all these things. They sell junk and they charge way too much for it. Junk, you can't look in the paper and see Fred Meyer, you know, $9.99 for a carat, you know, tennis bracelet or 2 carats or whatever they are. They're junk. They're just junk. They're literally industrial grade diamonds. So you need to know. That's all I'm saying. And Coins Plus is high volume, low margin. And we are also honesty, integrity, and professionalism has been our motto since the day we opened. We live by it. We are, our internal rule is always do the right thing no matter the cost. God's blessed us for that, I hope. I believe it's pretty obvious. And I believe that he, because he blesses us, we're able to bless our customers. So thank you for your business, your loyalty, your commitment. We appreciate it. I always cram it in at the end of the show. I'll do it now. We do offer a program for reviews online. Okay, so if you go to Google and you give us a five-star, you know, business-related review, we'll give you a free nice silver Morgan silver dollar. Nice. And then if you leave three reviews online at the highest rating, five-star, we'll give you two nice Morgan silver dollars or 2 ounces of silver, whichever you prefer. And the other sources you can go to are like Bing or Yelp. Yelp is weird. I mean, Yelp will take like the four worst reviews we've ever gotten and put them on top, and that's all you see until you go down to the bottom of the screen. There's this teeny weeny little tiny link that says read more reviews, and there's 58 of them, you know, and they're real positive, and they hide them because these, you know, certain people haven't reviewed a lot or something. I don't even know. Their computer thinks it's smarter than we are, and it picks junk, and that's why I don't like Yelp at all. It's really inaccurate. It hurts business owners. I've seen restaurants especially that do phenomenal work, and you get people that are just cruel and mean. And I've mentioned I got a degree in statistics, and one thing they taught us is whenever people enter any kind of voluntary survey, it's always emotionally driven, or primarily always emotionally driven. So they're either extremely happy or extremely mad. Well, typically in a place like this, we have people come in here with the highest expectations. We have the nicest facility in the area by a long shot. We've got the best reputation. I've run into people all over, and it's nice to hear that say our reputation precedes itself, which is awesome. People will go to other shops, you know, and sell their stuff and live with, you know, regret, and you know, like it's like you can make an impulsive decision quickly, and then you get the rest of your life to live in remorse. So I choose Coins Plus first. And also, I would say, with everything we've discussed, the tension in this world, the tension in this nation, you got to secure a portion of your assets, savings, 401ks, IRAs, whatever, in precious metals. I mean, I have all mine in real estate, rare coins, precious metals, and some cash. But I do believe strongly in the metals and the coins because they're just immediately liquid. Just instantaneously, you walk in, you walk out, you got the money. There's nothing else like it. Stocks, bonds, whatever, et cetera. So anyway, and we'll just, from there, we'll move on. I don't normally cover news, but I'll tell you what, folks, right now, not that this is a new in sentiment or spirit, but it's unbelievable. I don't know how many of you watch the news nationally. I do, because I think it's very relevant. And of course, I do a radio show, and there was a period of time I got sick of the news and I quit watching it many years ago, and I just couldn't take anymore. And because it was so negative, and this guy walked in and said, "What do you think of the tsunami?" I said, "What tsunami?" And he said, "You're kidding me." He goes, "The tsunami that just killed 250,000 people." And I'm like, "What?" So I went and flipped on the news, and there it was. You know, Indonesia and Thailand absolutely got devastated. It's really, you know, and I was like, wow, God slap, God smack right there. God wants me to know what's going on. So ever since then, I've tried to maintain that. The problem is news has become editorial, political, vitriolic rhetoric that just destroys and trashes everything. And, you know, the Democrats, the Democrats' new approach, or new, or actually finally revealed, is socialism. And their attitude is anybody who doesn't agree with them is a racist or a bigot or a sexist. They spin that trash so much. Why do people listen to the same old rhetoric over and over again and not get sick and tired of it and not get numb to it? Instead, it fits Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister of the Hitler regime, the Third Reich, it fits his theory that you tell a lie long enough and the people will believe it. The bigger the lie, the easier they'll believe it. And, you know, all the quotes I read recently from Hitler and Stalin and Goebbels and Goering from Hitler Germany, all saying, you know, it's easy to control the people. You just tell them they're under attack, either terrorism or attack from their leader, and you criticize those who won't stand by you as pacifists, and you get the rest of the public, the rest of the populace to attack them. Last night, okay, so here's what's going on if you're not watching. I assume you are. You've got these four black women, radical leftists. I mean crazy, anti-American leftists. Trump says they hate America. People say, ooh, how harsh and mean. It's true. Nancy Pelosi went on the floor last night or yesterday and breached a House rule that you cannot criticize or demean the president from the House floor. Why? Because he's not there to defend himself. And it's honor and it's respect. And that's what this nation was founded on. As John Adams said, religious and moral people are necessary for this republic to survive and stand. And now we just keep lowering the bar and lowering the bar and lowering the bar. So today what they do? They did a congressional resolution of impeachment against Trump. What does that mean? They voted. How many people want to impeach Trump? Well, apparently because of strong Democratic rule, you know, it passed like 325 to 93. I didn't know the ratio of Republicans to Democrats was that bad. I don't think it is. That means Republicans voted for it too, which is quite frustrating. And it doesn't mean he's impeached. It doesn't mean that the resolution of impeachment has been passed. It just means that they're saying we want to. They're trying to make a statement. They're making him the enemy. He speaks the truth. He actually speaks the truth. We're not used to this. We're not allowed to do this anymore. We need politically correct speech. Like the Bible says, you know, wisdom to God is foolishness to man, and wisdom to man is foolishness to God. And we are, you know, we're going right down that road. We are heading towards a man operated and run government, which is socialism. People are crazy. They're absolutely crazy. And you've got these four women that, you know, some call the fraud squad. Trump calls them the four congresswomen of the apocalypse. They're destroying the Democratic Party. So, first of all, some people get all troubled by them. I do. Their theories and philosophies are utterly terrifying. If one of these women got in office, I'm not kidding you, I literally would probably consider highly packing up and leaving this country because they're radicals. They want, you know, even Obama said that he'd believe in 100% income tax on certain levels of income. And, you know, and of course, all the big corporations always get breaks, so they don't care. So they're always liberal. Because they have immunity, because they have lobby power, because they have tons of money. So we, even though corporations are represented as individuals, we actually get very liberal influence from them because they get away with anything they want. They just buy off as many people as they want. You know, you got Google spending $1 billion a year on lobbying, CEO of Google 400 plus times in the Obama administration's White House, you know, scrubbing information. Google, I was going to say earlier, when you're going online, trying to educate yourself, if you're trying to go online and educate yourself on, I apologize. If you're trying to educate yourself on precious metals, everything you read is paid for on Google. So you can't trust the information. It's actually, it's all biased. It's all financially driven. Super important to understand that, folks. It's incredible bias. In fact, it's shallow. It's hollow. I hate it. I used to do a ton of awesome research on Google. You could search a topic and go for, you know, 60 pages. And eventually find some college professor's incredible thesis on exactly what you want. No more. And even, you know, Smart Search and all these that protect your name so they can't track you with ads, they're just filtering everything and running it back through Google. And so what we've got going on with the fraud squad, if you will, is they're basically, you know, attention freaks, okay? They're running around. They're destroying the Democratic Party. They want the U.S. to become socialist, anti-white. They're very anti-white. This Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, says today on ABC that there is no bottom to the limits of vitriol that they will use to fight and destroy their enemies. This is America, okay? This is America. They literally are playing this terrible role. You know, so they come out. They're already congresswomen. Anybody speaks or stands against them, and all of a sudden they're the damsels in distress. But yet they are spewing vitriol like never before. They're referring to their fellow congressmen as enemies. My mom was a court reporter for her whole life, and one comment she's made is that even in the legal industry, or, you know, the law aspect of our society, she's seen, you know, just a demise in the demeanor and respect and honor and dignity between attorneys, even the way they dress. And, you know, folks, the way we dress affects the way we act. When the baggy pant thing hit the schools back in the 90s and the real rough, you know, gang-based stuff, you know, the baggy pant thing came from the show Cops. Cops was the first reality show. And they'd be in the tough parts of town chasing these ghetto kids around, and they'd have on these huge baggy pants that were falling off, and they'd be pulling them up. Why? Because they were poor and they were wearing hand-me-downs. I read a research report on it. That's how the trend started. So people started to mimic poverty, okay? And it was sad. You know, you go back to the Great Depression and you see, you know, shows like The Little Rascals and things like that. They did dress that way because that's all they had. But these people are dressing down as poorly as they can. You know, the whole ripped jean thing and all that. It's always something. But the way we dress reflects the way we behave. When girls wear extremely scant clothing that is far too revealing, it makes them behave more promiscuously. It's been proven. And so when attorneys wore suits and ties and things like this, they behave better. Now that the casual wear is in, they behave differently. They don't behave with the same level of professionalism. It's a proven fact. And I mean, that's just one factor. But this nation's just been filled with rules and laws and regulations. I discussed that on a show here a little bit ago, based on the Ninth Amendment. The Ninth Amendment is basically anything, you know, no one right can override another right. And the people, you know, basically, you cannot use your rights to impede upon another person's rights. No brainer, obviously, right? Well, that is something that everybody fights. Everybody thinks their rights are a weapon. And they try to use them to, you know, as the devil, to steal and kill and destroy. And then you've got Saul Alinsky. When I heard AOC this morning talking on ABC News or whatever, ABC, some morning show, it basically reminded me of, well, it's all Saul Alinsky's tactics. Who is Saul Alinsky? Saul Alinsky was a radical activist who led, you know, David Ayers and what's her name? Dorn, Marine, something Dorn. But these people that were, you know, the Weather Underground, they called themselves, and they would blow up government buildings, and, you know, then they'd get out later and end up being professors and just really crazy stuff. People that Obama quoted. Hillary did her PhD thesis on Saul Alinsky. And he wrote what was called the Rules for Radicals, okay, which was 13 rules for radicals. He had, he's got 13 rules for radicals, and then he's got 11 rules on the ethics of means and ends. And then, you know, so he basically, without going through them all, I'll buzz through them all real quick. The 13 rules for radicals. Power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have, okay? So you act intimidating. You act like you have stuff on people. You actually make false claims. You falsely accuse. You breach the Fourth Amendment, which is to falsely accuse. And then he goes on, he says, power is derived from two main sources, money and people. Have-nots must build power from flesh and blood. So what do we see? Flesh and blood. What about this Antifa group that all these radical lefties won't stand against or speak against? Are you kidding me? I mean, these guys are radical. They're out. We just had one that was trying to blow up an ICE station, you know, ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And, you know, and they all hailed him as a hero and an amazing, you know, brave soul. And, you know, and this is sick stuff. This immigration policy, folks, what's going on even with these four women and these fraud squad, they are absolutely trying to transform America. Obama started it. He said, I will fundamentally transform America. We would not be seeing this stuff today if it was not for Barack Hussein Obama as president. He said one thing, did another, implemented and imposed all these radical left-wing ideologies. He was a big black liberation theologist, went to that Pastor Wright's church, and listen to all this terrible anti-white, anti-American stuff, anti-Jewish, everything. But because Obama was a Muslim and they are commanded to carry out what's called taqiyya, which is to lie, cheat, and steal to further the cause of Islam and Muhammad and Allah, he was able to get into office portraying one personality. And once he was there, he was able to execute another level agenda, which was why his wife said for the first time ever she feels proud to be an American, because she believed in the same agenda and theology. So, second thing, Saul Alinsky's 13 Rules for Radicals. Never go outside the expertise of your people. It results in confusion, fear, and retreat. Feeling secure adds to the backbone of anyone. Have you ever watched these debates on Fox or anywhere where the left spins and spins and spins and changes topics and they won't stick to the topic, and eventually they're off on some tangent and it's all a diversion? You're like, what are they even talking about? It's something they studied. They didn't study it to become knowledgeable. They studied it. You know, to me, I picture them spinning 11 plates, you know, and they're spinning plates. You know, you've seen those guys that have the sticks and they spin plates. They don't get down to the nitty gritty. They're not seeking the truth. And ultimately, ideally, the Republican concept, the Republican platform, is a God-run government with to seek the truth no matter the cost, okay? Right versus wrong, okay? The left is a man-run government, socialism, and it is to win at any cost. So there is, so it's dirty. It's like a dirty boxer that'll hit below the belt. And it'll, you know, like when Mike Tyson was afraid of Evander Holyfield, so he bit his ear off. And, you know, that kind of behavior. And, you know, I was in a variety of martial arts and boxing, and there's people that are just dirty, you know, in full contact martial arts. There's no eye gouging, you know, no punching to the throat, no kicking or punching to the groin. And there was a few other rules like that. In one competition I was in that I won, the final fight was with a professional kickboxer who basically, long story short, that was his technique, was to sit there and break every rule and act like he didn't. And, you know, the ref eventually pulled points from him, but, you know, I was I wasn't ready for that, but we'll just put it that way. So this is what Saul Alinsky's telling him to do. Hit below the bell. And as you listen, as we go. Number three, whenever possible, go outside the expertise. We talked about that. No, I didn't. I said number two is never go outside the expertise of your people. Number three is whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the what? Enemy. The enemy. Folks, we're all Americans. But to go outside their expertise, it goes right back to what I was just saying. And he says, look for ways to increase insecurity, anxiety, and uncertainty. You know, babble stuff. Make people think that they don't know what they're talking about and that you're way smarter. But, you know, if you're really confident in what you know, and you know when they're doing that, and you don't fall for it, and you bring the topic back, and you stay in line. But the problem is Saul Alinsky dedicated his book to the devil, to Lucifer. He said Lucifer was the first and greatest activist, and he got his own kingdom because of it, he says. He's basically the one that said, I'd rather party in hell than rule in heaven or whatever. I don't know, something terrible like that. Number four, he says, make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. If the rules that every letter, which back then is different because we don't do letters now, gets a reply, send 30,000 letters. You can kill them with this because no one can possibly obey all their own rules. So he's basically saying be insincere, be unjust, be immoral, you know, have bad intentions, everything the devil wants you to do. Number five, he says, ridicule is man's most potent weapon. Now, what does God say? Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but such as edifying to those who hear, you know, to build others up, etc. The Bible's about building up. So what is Saul Alinsky about? Tearing people down. Ridicule. He says there's no defense. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It also works as a key pressure point to force the enemy into concession. So they attack individuals. They don't attack concepts and agendas and theories, and we don't have these great philosophical discussions. And I've seen that with people that are, you know, miserable and unhappy and godless, that everything, they can't say, look, when this happened or when you did this, it made me feel like this. They have to say, you're this kind of person, you're that kind of person, you're a bad person. Trump's a racist and a bigot, and they have to say they're going to impeach him, folks. You want to know how ridiculous that is? I've got a quick thing here. I want to hit real quickly on the Constitution and impeachment, okay? The Constitution impeachment, Article 2, Section 4, first it says, the President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the U.S. shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of, okay? What constitutes a justification of impeachment? Here it is. This is in the Constitution. Conviction of, that means legally tried and found guilty for treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes and misdemeanors being high misdemeanors, okay? That's the only reason they can be impeached. Article 1, Section 3, the Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. When sitting for that purpose, they shall be on oath or affirmation. When the President of the United States is tried, the Chief Justice shall preside, and no person shall be convicted without the concurrence of two-thirds of the members present. Judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to removal of office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office to honor, trust, or profit under the United States, but the party convicted shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment, trial, judgment, and punishment according to the law. So essentially, you've got to be tried, convicted. The Senate has to vote two-thirds. You can't be tried further than that, and you're not able to hold office. There is absolutely no reason whatsoever for Trump to be impeached, other than for Democrats, they're playing dirty, rotten games. It's not constitutional behavior, you know, and they try to say, oh, obstruction of justice because because of the Russia collusion or, you know, folks, you can't commit. Well, It's very difficult to be convicted of committing obstruction of justice for a crime you didn't commit. Okay? So it's, you know, it's ridiculous. They just keep moving the target. First it was Russian collusion. Now it's obstruction of justice. And then they said, well, just because he's unfit to hold the office. And there is, you know, that's just a matter of opinion. I mean, the people voted him in. You think that he purported himself as one person and we later found out he was another? No. We know who we elected. They just don't like him because he's too darn good and too darn powerful. The problem is when you have a conservative incumbent in office, it is almost always the case that the other offices will imbalance themselves and onto the other party. Sadly, over the last 100-plus years, the Democrats have controlled 2/3 of branches. As of Obama's administration, it was like 90 to 92% of the time. Now with Trump, it's probably back down to 90. I don't know the exact number, but it's around 90%. 90% of the time. And what do? The whole time? They gripe and moan and complain. People gravitate towards that. Gossip and backstabbing, and it's human nature. It's our flesh. And a lot of people on a national scale, we live in the flesh. Look at the behavior of nations as a whole. Throughout history, they gravitate towards the flesh. They follow leaders that glorify the flesh. We don't operate nationally, typically, in a spiritual fashion. It's sad. It's sorry. I wish it were different, but it isn't. We gravitate towards the flesh. The media that has a First Amendment protected right is not anything at all like our founders expected ever to occur. This editorial rubbish, you know, journalism was about a lack of bias. That's what people were taught. They, forever and ever, they were taught that a good journalist is an innocent bystander. Even back in the 80s when I was in college and I took a journalism class, and I also, you know, of course, had to take different English classes. They spent a lot of time discussing bias and making us define and identify the difference between fact and opinion in the way people wrote. And it was mandatory, manifest, that we wrote in fact, not opinion. That's what they tried to teach us. Now in journalism school, they want it's a hotbed for the creation of activism, of aggressive activism. So back to Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. So we said ridicule is man's most potent weapon. That's terrible. That means you attack the person, not the party, not the policy, and you accomplish absolutely nothing. All you do is destroy human lives. You've seen the left do it all. The Antifa thing, you know, beating people up they don't agree with, going to people's houses with blowhorns at 4 a.m. when they have children in bed that have to go to school the next day. And, you know, and then you've got this group of black women, and it isn't the fact that they're black, except they're the ones that are making that the issue. That's why I'm saying it. The level of vitriol, like AOC said, has never hit such lows in this nation. They're carrying grudges. They're carrying these harsh grudges, and the problem is they're picking up excuses to misbehave. You know, biblically, it's anti-biblical, bottom line. I mean, to forgive is an absolute biblical mandatory action, okay? You've got to forgive others. Forgiveness, you know, I heard a person recently say, well, I can't forgive. There's been too many little cuts and just too many little things the person's done to me. And it's like, forgiving is not for them. It's for you. Forgiving releases you. So, you know, it's like they say, you forgive and you release the prisoner only to find you were the prisoner. Or they say bitterness is like taking a poison pill and hoping that it hurts the other person. These people, when they live this way, and by the way, they've shown psychologically over and over, even if you're faking it, if you act a certain way, you become that, okay? So as you act, so you are. So you become. So even if it's all a ploy or a game, and especially people that want attention, they will grab it. They will become those people. They'll become hateful, vitriolic, God-hating, you know, hell-bound people, essentially. These kinds of behaviors, I don't care what people say. You know, God's got to make the ultimate choice. It's not up to me. But I'll tell you what. This is taking a God-built, God-ordained, you know, God-orchestrated, God-blessed nation and trying to tear it down to a failed, destructive, man-made system. And that's their goal. So then he goes on and says, this is Solinsky 6, a good 13 rules for radicals. A good tactic is one your people enjoy. This is, you know, they'll keep doing it without urging and come back to do more. They're doing their thing and they'll even suggest better ones, whatever that means. It's just, you know, if people enjoy throwing rocks through windows or spray painting buildings or slashing tires or starting fires, you know, let them do it. Because if they're having fun, if they like it, heck, you know, it's sin, man. Let them sin like crazy. And then what's next? You know, rape and murder. And it just one builds on the next. His seventh tactic. A tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. Don't become old news. So that's why this AOC and the fraud squad, you know, keep coming up with some new grandiose scheme. And the one that's drug on, like I said, is this claim of racism and sexism and all this stuff. It's just out of control. I mean, what's happened? I mean, we had a beautiful nation. I mean, granted, you know, we had slavery. The whole world had slavery. We're the nation that broke it. We lost 700,000 men's lives in the Civil War, primarily for the Emancipation Proclamation to release the slaves. Of course, afterwards, there's been, you know, issues, and before there, you know, they were already being emancipated. But no one counts all the injuries, the injured in the Civil War, which is over 1 million men, counting dead and injured, severely injured, critically injured. It was well over 1 million men, like 1.1 million at a time when our nation had 16 million people. You know, and I've gone through the statistics. If you take 16 million people, half of them are women and half of them are men. That's 8 million men. Out of those men, half of them are of legal childbearing and rearing age. Half are not. Now you're down to 4 million men. Now out of 4 million men that are childbearing age, you've got, you know, 20-some percent of them, 27% of them, are, you know, critically injured. Well, actually about 30% critically injured or murdered, gone. And this is where we had a huge shift in our country, the Susan B. Anthony movement, who, by the way, was nothing like the radical left-wingers of today. But then that's when, you know, things just changed. They used to have one vote per household. People say women couldn't vote. It's true. But, you know, these women lost the right to vote because their husband represented the household. There was one vote per household. And they started to bring in all kinds of laws. They weren't as strong of leaders in certain areas. We eventually ended up with all kinds of financial problems. And I'm not being sexist. I'm just saying that, you know, a very great price was paid that eventually led to a change in our nation around 1900. Socialism was a very popular. It entered the churches. That's where they started to say, hey, if you're really godly, you need to be dirt poor. And socialism sounded great. It was this theory that hadn't really been put into practice, and it got put into practice all over the world with Mao Zedong and Stalin and, you know, technically Hitler and Mussolini, and I could, you know, the list goes on. And hundreds of millions of lives were lost. It's a terrible, absolutely terrible system, completely contrary to human nature and contrary to God's Bible, and it's failed. And now we got a new generation. 77% of millennials are, number one, 77% of millennials want socialism, and number two, the millennials are carrying more debt than any human beings in the history of the world. So they want free everything. They want this big jubilee I discussed in my last show, this big debt forgiveness. Well, you can't do that. All you're doing, you're not redistributing wealth, you're redistributing debt. They want both. They want their debts forgiven and they want your money if you're out working hard and they want to stay home and, you know, in a lot of cases, smoke pot because it's legal or whatever and do their thing, you know. And they don't, I've hired these guys and, man, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, 40 hours a week is super hard. I had one of my son's friends say that to me when he was working at Starbucks. I'm like, good job, you got a job, you know. And he goes, yeah, this is a number of years back. My son's older now, but he was like, yeah, but do you know how hard it is to work 40 hours a week? I'm like, yeah, I kind of know a little bit about that. But that's the era. My era was like, get out there and do whatever you got to do. It was an era of loyalty to the employer. Now there's no loyalty from employers. Everybody's a widget. They're underpaying. Even with Trump creating all these jobs, it's all industry or all corporate industry related. So it's all these low paying jobs that are, you know, they're very basic. They're barely on the verge of life sustaining. With true inflation, they really aren't. They put people in situations where they have to get into debt. So, okay, a tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. Don't become old news. Number eight, keep the pressure on. Never let up. Don't we see that? They never quit. Keep trying new things to keep the opposition off balance. As the opposition masters one approach, hit them from the flank with something new. Number nine, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. Imagination and ego can dream up many more consequences than any activist. Well, you know, that's what they're doing with all these special counsels and threats of impeachment. And, you know, everybody's like, oh my gosh, that would destroy the country. It would, you know, and it is. It is. The concept of it is it's all rubbish. Number 10, the major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure on the opposition. Again, the major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. It is this unceasing pressure that results in the reactions from the opposition that are essential for the success of the campaign. Like calling everybody a racist and singling them out and destroying them and going to their houses and scaring their kids and, you know, yelling at them in public restaurants and you name it. And Antifa just beating the tar out of people that don't agree with them. So what do other people do? They put their head down and they stay out of trouble. Only real men stand up. I'll tell you what, folks, this garbage where Antifa's allowed by these municipalities to run around with masks on is wrong. We've got to have an executive order federally to demask these people. They are not, nobody should be able to run around in a mask and in a protest. It's absolutely wrong. It used to be intolerable by the police. Now the police stand by and allow all this garbage. Why? Because all these Democratic-led communities have their chief of police, who in a lot of cases is, well, in all cases is controlled by the mayor, being told, you know, just let them do what they do. Because the left will not condemn their violence or their radical behavior. This is all Saul Alinsky stuff, folks. He says, if you push a negative hard enough, it will push through and become a positive. Violence from the other side can win the public to your side because the public sympathizes with the underdog. Bottom line, and Antifa beats everybody up. If a whole bunch of, you know, men's men showed up with baseball bats to a rally or to one of these Antifa functions and started beating these guys up with baseball bats, what do you think the media would cover? Oh, these poor Antifa people. And then they'd have all these little micro testimonies about this poor boy who got his knee broke and he was just an innocent little boy and he never did anything wrong. And, you know, this is the media. It's getting out of hand. Two more. 12. The price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. Never let the enemy score points because you're caught without a solution to the problem. So you've always got to you've always got to know how to respond to the situation, I guess. Be prepared. 13, this is really the most important one that we see in our society. That's the most sinful, destructive, horrible thing. 13. Now, remember, we live in the United States of America, run by a constitution, paid for by the blood of patriots, okay, men who stood against the British government, lost their lives. 85% of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were killed, and their families, and in many brutal, brutal ways. Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. So take someone who's significant out of the party or out of your objective area, and it says pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Cut off the support network, isolate the target from sympathy, go after people and not institutions. People hurt faster than institutions. So they're saying take these people, isolate them, and lacerate them. It's, folks, this is the devil's method. It's ungodly. And he's got another 11 rules on ethics, on the ethics of means and ends. We don't have time to discover. One of them, number 10, you do what you can with what you have and clothe it with moral garments. In other words, you know, number 9, any effective means is automatically judged by the opposition to be unethical. And it just, it goes on like this, but I won't get into that. So as usual, we're out of time. I had some other cool stuff I wanted to discuss and I did not get to it again and again and again and again. So the bottom line is, folks, please give Coins Plus a call. Get your finances secure. We've got a lot of goofy stuff going on in this country. It ain't going to get better. I'm sorry. I wish it would. Pray for it. It could. We could have a spiritual revival. That would be wonderful. But we need to prepare for the worst and pray for the best. And so just prepare yourself financially, folks. It doesn't take much. Just, you know, come in, give us a call. We'll get you taken care of. When you invest in metals, you're really buying money. You're buying God's money. So it's immediately liquid. It's not something you got to think about. There's not a lot. There's virtually no risk. You'll always have the asset. Give us a call, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through our website at coinsplus.com. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.